Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
It's time for the church to acknowledge that we have brothers and sisters who are gay.
LGBTs have to find a household of worship that reflects what your views are and what you believe.
A gay person who still wants to attend church after the way the church has treated the gay community, I'm telling you, they have more faith than I do. They have more faith than a lot of you.
What's not loving is to look someone in the eye when God says they are in jeopardy of an eternity in hell and merely wink and nod at their sin because you're afraid of being called names.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
A sign of the times.
You be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
Prepare to play one of America's fastest growing game sensations, Sign of the Times. Your federal head is the one, the only, handsome Jimmy Hicks, who will represent the tens and tens of people, probably less, listening to this here Wretched Radio program. Jimmy, are you ready for your most serious responsibility?
Love judging.
I will share with you a number of stories, and you need to tell me, pay very close attention to this. This is the inaugural version of Sign of the Times. Which one of these stories best personifies, best typifies the era that we're currently living in? Got it?
I think so.
Well, let's make sure. But you got to be clear on it. How can you judge if you don't know the rules?
I can judge with no rules.
Yeah, it's your spiritual gift.
That's right.
Mine too. This is these are different stories that I thought could only happen in the year that we are currently living in. That you wouldn't have heard these stories, say, when Petula Clark was singing "Sign of the Times" in 1966. Oh, and by the way, I'm actually looking at the video of Petula Clark singing "Signs of the Times." And I believe me, I know it's much worse these days. But as I'm looking at this, it wasn't exactly purity culture in 1966. You've changed a lot somehow. There's the clothing is not as suggestive, but the dancing certainly is. And the clothes enough so that in the 60s already, the sexual revolution was already bearing its rotten fruit. We have a tendency, I think, to look back and go, oh, back then it was purer, it was better. Well, human hearts haven't changed over the millennia. And in the 60s, when more freedom was given to people to express themselves, you get what I'm looking at with Petula Clark, who actually had a number of hits, the Petula Clark. Downtown. Mm. Somebody did a stand-up bit about this. Don't sleep in the subway, darling. Don't stand in the pouring rain. What kind of guy is she dating? Needs to tell him these things. All right, Jimmy. So here's the deal. I'm going to share with you the stories, and then you have to pick the one where you go, yeah, that's kind of the story that typifies our age.
Okay.
I don't know how else to say it. So you're on your own from henceforth. All right. This is from Richard Land, writing in the Christian Post. America's profound moral crisis looks like this. He focuses particularly on anti-Semitism. It's always been a mystery to me how it persists. No matter where Jewish people go, there are some people that just hate Jewish people. And I believe one of the miracles of our modern era is that God has kept this people together despite the animosity, the purgings, the horrible treatment of Jewish people, pretty much every continent, every century. And yet they continue to endure, and they did it without a homeland for give or take 1800 centuries. If I recall, there isn't a people group in existence that didn't have a homeland for after like six generations, something like that, less than 100 years. And the Jewish people somehow seem to endure. It's almost, this is going to sound crazy, but it's almost as if, I mean, God has a plan for them or something and still is going to do things with his chosen people from the Old Testament. Now, that couldn't be, Jimmy. That couldn't, at least for our Presbyterian friends, they would reject that idea. But it sure seems like God has plans for the Jewish people. Romans 11, I think it's kind of undeniable. I think that you see the Jewish people getting saved en masse in Revelation. which clearly states that a lot of Jewish people are going to be saved. God isn't done with them. The church has not replaced Israel. We are the church. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation. We're a different thing. We're not Israel. We're not in that land. We don't have that ethnic heritage. And we certainly have a fuller picture of Judaism because of Jesus. So we're not Israel. We haven't replaced Israel. We are the church. God still has plans. And in the meantime, several stories. Sarah Milgram and Yaron Leshinsky. Now, my understanding is these people, they were Jewish by ethnicity, but they had become Christians. That's my understanding. These are the two that were gunned down in Washington, D.C., which, by the way, Jimmy.
Yes.
Tell me if you're offended by this. Did I mention we were in Huntsville, Alabama?
No.
Yeah. And how big did I blow the show yesterday when we were talking about Alabama a lot? You reminded me today.
I blew it too.
Oh, how's that, Jimmy?
Because I didn't think about it until after.
It should have been playing Sweet Home Alabama.
Right.
What we should have been doing right there. We could have followed it up with Freebird and had a Leonard Skinnard fest yesterday. Missed that opportunity. We're getting into the elevator at the hotel and the pretty slow elevator. And the guy said, "Where are you from?" We said, "Atlanta." And he goes, "Oh, Cuckoo Town." Huh. "Where are you from?" "Washington, D.C." "Hello? Hello? Seriously? We're Cuckoo Town?" Yikes. I guess it depends on the standard. These guys were out in the street. They got gunned down. The young lady, while trying to crawl away, was shot again by the gunman yelling, "Free Palestine." This is shocking. This is shocking that we as a culture cannot see that there happens to be a very large world religion that notably has its name affixed to these terrorist attacks, these assaults on Jewish people. Now, unfortunately, it's more than Muslims that are doing that. But they have sworn it is their religion to exterminate Jewish people. And so these people were executed on the street. Weeks earlier, an arsonist set fire to the governor's mansion in Pennsylvania. His name is Governor Josh Shapiro. It was the first night of Passover. Boulder, Colorado, an illegal immigrant from Egypt set 15 Jews on fire with Molotov cocktails and a homemade flamethrower because the Jews were peacefully demonstrating for the release of Jewish hostages that were captured from the October 7th nightmare. And by the way, this actually was a peaceful protest. Did you see? It was like MSNBC or CNN that literally they had a meme that was just talking about the peaceful protests in Los Angeles about the immigration business. And in the background is a picture of a car and a building on fire from the peaceful protest. Jimmy, that's story number one, the way Jewish people are now being treated again. You would just think that the Holocaust is not that far behind us, apparently. That's story number one. Ready?
Yep.
Story number two, sign of the times, in case we've forgotten the premise here. Dead naming and misgendering are now legally considered discrimination in Colorado. How cool. It's a new pro-trans law. If you call someone their given name and their correct pronoun and their correct pronouns, then you will be breaking. If you call someone their given name and their correct pronoun. Okay, so this article was actually written from a sane standpoint. Oh, pronouns shouldn't be this much work. Nevertheless, if you call someone their given name and the pronouns that actually match reality, you're going to break the state anti-discrimination laws and you could be in big trouble. It also allows Coloradans to change their name and gender marker on driver's licenses and official documents up to 3 times. This is the one I was thinking about last week. You can change your name. We're wondering why people feel so, I don't know, alone and scared. They aren't even connected to their name. They can change it. Today you're Bill, the next day you're Sally. How disorienting must this be? And I think it contributes in part as we connect, or rather disconnect, we cut all of the cords that tether us to reality. You can change your name 3 times. And legislators somehow were able to pass that. That's story number 2. Don't you use correct pronouns anymore, Jimmy.
Okay.
Otherwise, you're dead naming. Story number 3, up to Canada we go. College students are now having to take basic life skills classes. This is from the CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. A first-year student at Toronto Metropolitan U says he has a lot of life skills to learn. I don't know how to change a tire. I don't have a car at all. I don't know how to sew. I don't know how to do a lot of things other than cooking. He has questions about financial matters, interest rates, mortgages, and paying rent. These are, in appearance, adults. Where have the parents been? Where, by the way, speaking of parents and where they've been, we will share later the massive study that was done on the effects of divorce. Don't know if you've seen it or not, but wow, 5 million person study. The effects have been awful. And part of it just might be Canadian college students can't really find their way out of the house without somehow banging their shin against a table. That's story number 3. We'll continue Sign of the Times next on Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. It might buy you a soft drink. But what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And when you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, understand this. You're not just giving money. You're preaching the gospel to a student at Georgia Tech. You're discipling the young men struggling with pornography. And you're equipping a pastor in a small rural church. And the work, it's nowhere near finished. The fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership makes it all possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org, because when faithful people give faithfully, the gospel advances powerfully. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. So if we were going to be honest with one another, we would have to admit that every day our phone buzzes with celebrity scandals and political outrage and notifications of TikTok trends, all the stuff that doesn't matter. But what if your phone could deliver something different? Because it can. Meet Fortis Plus. If you haven't already downloaded it yet, I want to urge you to take that opportunity right now. It's free and it will replace noise with nourishment. Picture this, 7 new pieces of content every single day. And I'm not talking clickbait or gossip. I'm talking real truth for real life. The app is already full of hundreds of hours of content. Again, completely free. And when I say free, I mean free. I don't mean hidden costs and temporary trials and premium tiers. No subscription traps at all. Because while everyone else all over the world is selling you something, we are giving something away. Fortis Plus. Download it right now where you download your apps, or just go to fortisplus.org, because what feeds your mind shapes your life. The world says you're broken, a victim of chemical imbalance, just another diagnosis and a long list of mental health labels. But what if they're wrong about you? What if there's a completely different perspective? Dr. Greg Gifford, a Fortis Institute fellow, is challenging everything you've been told about mental health. In our exclusive forum, Psychology versus Scripture, The Truth About Mental Health, Dr. Gifford will reveal why the Bible never describes anxiety, depression, or emotional struggles as diseases, but instead offers a framework of sin, suffering, and sanctification. You're not defined by psychiatric terminology, and there is a path to true transformation that medication alone cannot provide. Join us for an eye-opening Fortis Forum that will help you break free from worldly definitions and find lasting peace in Christ. You can watch this Fortis Forum, available right now for free at fortisplus.org. That's fortisplus.org. Your journey to true transformation begins right now.
Important dates in Christian history. 1517. Martin Luther posts his 95 Theses, a simple invitation for scholarly debate that inadvertently becomes a hinge of history. Luther's challenge to the sale of indulgences sparked the Reformation and changed the face of the world. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's a sign of the time. Who needs Petula Clark, Friel? Listen to yourself. We do. Okay, this is Wretched Radio, although I'm not sure she's available. She might be, but I'm... She was singing Sign of the Times in 1966. And I got to tell you something, that go-go video, that wasn't like the age of purity, the 60s. Jimmy, would you check and see if Petula Clark is still working in Atlantic City or Las Vegas? Because Frankie Valli is. Why does Frankie Valli keep popping up in my YouTube feed? The shorts. Anybody? I don't think I've ever... When was the last time you heard a Frankie Valli song? I know I haven't listened to one. Why does it keep popping up in my... It's been going on for weeks. It's like, Frankie is still touring? Frankie Valli has got to be like pushing 90 years old and he's still out on the road? How much affirmation do you need as a nonagenarian? Petula Clark still alive and kicking?
She is 92.
Wow.
Yeah, she's not performing. She stopped performing in 2021.
Okay, hold on. I'm not good at math. 88?
That sounds about right. 4 years.
She was touring at 88.
Yeah.
One can only imagine what that performance looked like.
I'm going to look for it.
Before she went on stage, her manager would say, break a leg, but not a hip, because that's always very, don't break a hip. The leg, break a leg, because that's just a metaphor. Break a hip. Please, Petula, don't break a hip. Sign of the times. Oh, this is a rating bonanza here at Wretched Radio. Jimmy, if you recall, I shared three stories that you are to choose from, which one most typifies our age. And the first story was anti-Semitism. Number two, you can't call people their correct name or pronoun or you're breaking the law in Colorado. Story number three was Canadian college students that don't know how to do basic life skills and they need to start offering classes now to teach them how to balance a bank account, to know how to pay bills, change oil, just basic stuff. And I don't think that it is just Canada. Those are the first three stories, Jimmy.
Okay.
Are you prepared for the next story?
I am.
Story number four. Oh, how convenient. The morning after pill. It can now be conveniently purchased at a gas station. Did you know that? For a woman to terminate the life of her child, she can get this pill at a gas station, 24-hour convenience stores, delis, Easy Marts. The pills are in 11,000 locations in 48 states, South Dakota and Hawaii. They're holding on for dear life. It's just a matter of time. Jimmy, did I mention I was in Alabama? The news, we found a news channel. I'm just telling you, I loved Huntsville, but the cable TV in the hotel room left a little something to be desired. It's nighttime. Mrs. Friel is asleep. I've still got the TV on. I'm reading. And the best show that I actually left on for about 45 minutes, it wasn't even a national. It wasn't even a state. I think it was like a district championship for cornhole. And I watched it because that's what we had there. And so then I'm flipping. Oh, The Amazing Race came on. You know, that show... I've seen very little of that, but the production on that show is amazing. But when they had the people that they had to move on to their next level and they were in France, they had to eat some cheese with live maggots. I'm like, I'm out. I die. Oh. If I want to just feel revolted, I'll go to Waffle House. I don't need to be watching people eating cheese with maggots and their gag reflexes were working just fine. Thank you very much. But then there was a news channel thing. And it was actually the news from the Twin Cities. And I'm confused about this. Maybe you can AI this, Jimmy, but they were talking about passing new cannabis laws or new drug laws for recreational marijuana. I didn't know that Minnesota had already legal. Where are we at in Minnesota? Could you check that out? And I thought, oofta. And I mean that. Oofta, Minnesota. Working hard to beat Seattle. really competing against San Francisco here, giving it a run, I'm telling you that much. I don't know how much more liberal that state can get. But that's not one of our top sign of the time stories. 11,000 locations carry the morning after pill, which you can buy without a prescription because they're trying to make it easier for women to control their sexual health. Ah, that's story number four. You find it, Jimmy, or you still got to do some sleuthing?
No, it says recreational legalization and regulation since August 1st of 2023, making Minnesota the 23rd state to legalize.
Okay, so what were they talking about on the news? There's something that was, I think it's being able to sell it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
At retail stores. I think that's what went through. And they had a lottery. All the people, there were like hundreds of people competing. We want to be able to sell pot. We want to be able to. So now you can just go down the street where children play and buy your mind-altering substance. Speaking of which, story number five. What story are we in? Story number five, Jimmy. You ready?
I am ready.
Are you familiar with cannabis drinks? Cannabis drinks.
No.
Well, they're non-alcoholic, but they're infused with cannabis. Because
Potato?
Pretty much. Cannabis-infused drinks are gaining popularity as an alternative for consumers embracing an alcohol-free lifestyle. You know what this is like saying? You know what? I really need to quit smoking these cigarettes. Pass me a cigar because I'm not going to smoke cigarettes anymore. CBD-infused beverages are steadily growing. 2021, cannabidiol products generated $5.3 billion. By 2026, they expect $16 billion. The cannabis market in the U.S. is anticipated this year to exceed $45 billion. I'm not sure we'll tackle this today, but there's another trend, and it started just a few years ago. The psychedelic drugs that are being used, it is shocking, especially it seems, that it's out in California and Simi Valley where all of the different techs are. They think that if they take these psychedelics, they'll be able to create the next big whatever it is that sells a bazillion units. So they use psychedelics and people are getting freaked out by them. They don't know how to get off of them. And that's becoming an industry because of the prevalence of psychedelic drugs. They're also using it for people who purport to have PTSD, that they put them on these hallucinogenic drugs to help them get their thinking straight. But that's not one of our sign of the time stories, just cannabis drinks. They're growing in popularity. Story number seven. You ready, Jimmy?
Yeah, I think so.
And I'm gonna skip story number seven, but I'll share it. I don't think it qualifies for sign of the times because it's an Islamic story. In Afghanistan, the Taliban morality police, the people that are supposed to root out vice amongst the citizens, they've decided there is something so bad for society that they've made it illegal. Jimmy, would you like to guess what that horrible vice is?
No.
Could you try?
You said vice, so prostitution.
No.
Why?
You're not even warm.
Not even warm.
No. This is the problem.
You said it's going
You're thinking like a Christian.
I'm thinking logically.
Yeah, you would think that prostitution, that would be a vice.
Right.
You are correct in this context. But if you go to Afghanistan, the Taliban morality police believe chess is a big, scary no-no. So they've outlawed chess. But that's not chess.
The board game.
Like checkers with a little more sophisticated. Yeah, chess. Against the law.
It's against the
law. Oh, causing all kinds of uprisings there in Afghanistan. But that's not one of our stories. Don't get confused. Story number seven, Vietnam has to end their two-child policy because their birth rates have hit a record low. Story number eight, my math. Pornhub, Youborn, and RedTube are going to block their sites in France. That's very exciting. And you say, then how does that qualify for a sign of the times? They're doing it because the French government is trying to make sure that little kids don't watch pornography. And so you have to then, therefore, enter some information to make sure that you're actually of age. And Pornhub and all these other porn sites are so upset. Well, we're going to teach you a lesson. We're going to cancel porn in France. Good luck with that, Mitron. Because they're going to insist that you return it. Crazy. Jimmy?
Yes.
I think that's quite enough. That was 9 stories. I don't care to repeat them. Which one is, in your estimation, sir, the story that is the sign of the times?
The sign of the times story is, I'm going to say, the college students taking basic life skills classes.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Because it's an indicator that our whole idea in raising kids is to make them, give them the skills to be able to, you know, operate in life on their own. And it appears that that has certainly changed as a goal for our children. And so we're sending them off to uni unprepared to know how to use a fork and a knife, a sign of the times. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Breaker production on Fortis Institute. The state of California continues its descent into lawlessness as National Guard troops rolled into Los Angeles just this week after days of violent anti-ICE riots. The chaos prompted the Treasury Secretary to warn Governor Newsom that he's been threatening to commit criminal tax evasion after Newsom suggested California might stop sending its $80 billion in federal taxes. The Treasury Secretary reminded the governor that federal law attaches personal liability to tax evasion attempts. Apparently, someone needs to explain the basic civics to California's leadership. Meanwhile, former Vice President Kamala Harris threw gas on the fire by backing these overwhelmingly peaceful protests. Speaking of dangerous escalations, an LGBT art exhibit in Brooklyn has surrounded a children's playground with nude images and gender confusion propaganda. The Rooted in Pride display, On Display Where Toddlers Play, features explicit content and artwork claiming gender reveal parties are transphobic, homophobic, and racist. One piece blames President Trump for seeking to destroy LGBT communities because apparently everything is his fault, including their choice to sexualize children's spaces. And the gender madness extends to sports, where Olympic gymnast Simone Biles launched personal attacks against former swimmer Riley Gaines over protecting women's athletics. After Gaines highlighted a girls' softball team whose male star pitched a shutout to win the state championship, Biles called her a sore loser and suggested creating separate transgender categories. Multiple podcast hosts, including Jillian Michaels and tennis legend Martina Navratilova, challenged Biles to an actual debate on the topic. Yeah, if your position has merit, surely you can defend it without resorting to playground insults, right? In Ohio, the Cleveland NAACP proved they're completely untethered from reality by giving out Guardians of Justice awards to school administrators for defying federal anti-DEI orders. They're literally celebrating officials who refuse to comply with presidential directives, calling Trump's executive orders immoral suggestions. 9 Ohio school systems have refused to certify compliance, apparently preferring their fake awards to actual federal funding. The consequences of family breakdown continues mounting as a massive study of 5 million children confirm what we've known for decades. Divorce devastates kids. Children exposed to divorce between ages 0 to 5 see their adult income reduced by 9%, with teen births increasing 73% and mortality rising 35%. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at fortisinstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. Zephaniah begins with a shocking prophecy that God will sweep away everything from the face of the earth. But in the midst of judgment, God offers hope of salvation. Zephaniah gives us a picture of God's terrible wrath and reminds us of the wrath Jesus took upon himself for our sake. Flee to the Savior and be saved. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Take it back, Jimmy. Take it back and take it back now. If we were in Colorado, pal, you'd be in cuffs. I'd have you removed from the premises. Mislabeling me. Why I oughta. This is Wretched Radio. Go ahead. Tell it. Tell everybody, not that anybody's listening to this, tell everybody what you just mislabeled me as.
Topical tie.
One sermon, Jimmy, one sermon. And it was the second part of an expository sermon to broaden its application because I thought it would be helpful for the life of our body at this particular moment.
So just one.
But it was...
But okay, okay.
It was part two. If there were an expository court of law, I think I'd be going to jail. But the point is, one topical sermon and you mislabel me, topical Todd. You going to do that with Jason Allen? Huh? You going to, huh?
Why would I do it?
I told you, he preached on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
Psalm 88. It was magnificent. And believe me, everything about it was so fine. It was the structure of it, the introduction, the 3 points, then pointing it to Jesus Christ at the end. Honestly, there wasn't a dry eye in the house. And that is too what made it an awesome sermon. It wasn't classically expository, but we need to know that expository preaching, as you and I have grown familiar with these days, that's not classic. That's actually a more contemporary version where we parse every verb, we outline the entire paragraph, and we show every prepositional phrase, the difference of this word, and then in Greek society, this word was actually used like this. Okay, all cool stuff, but doing expository preaching line by line, verse by verse, it's really more of a recent focus than it was historically. And Jason's sermon on Sunday, if it were going to be judged as an expository sermon, I think it could fit probably underneath the umbrella, but these days on the fringes. Because he didn't say, all right, verse 1, this Hebrew word means this. This word for grief is actually a Hebrew word, which means didn't do any of that. And yet, he introduced it, he explained the text, the big point of the text. And then he gave us 3 magnificent points, pointed us to Jesus Christ. And when it was done, we were all moved because we all were like, we've got a great Savior. We've got a great Savior who really does understand what it means to be experiencing grief and to be despised by friends and to be abandoned. He gets it. He really does. And he's a sympathetic high priest. Run to him in those times when you're feeling like that, when you're feeling like Psalm 88. Remember, if anybody could speak Psalm 88 to express the depths of human sadness when virtually everything is hard, it's Jesus. Now, that was the sermon on Sunday. I wouldn't call it topical, but I wouldn't say that it was like rigidly expository. And that's why if you put 2 sermons on a scale, on the one side, you've got an expository sermon. Man, you are just ripping that bad boy up and we are wringing out every single word in that text. All right, I like that stuff. But that's the extent of the sermon. It fills the brain a lot. On the other side of the scale, you've got a sermon that it's not void of knowledge. You can't have that. Otherwise, you've just got pure emotionalism. It's not void of knowledge, but it's not as deep like that. But it does give me the knowledge that stirs my affections. I'll take that sermon any day. I'll take that sermon over one that has nothing but knowledge. Because preaching is designed, it should be designed to not just teach. That's the one of the distinguishing factors between preaching and teaching. Teaching can be delivered rote, dryly, nothing but Jack Webb facts, ma'am. You just, here it is, that you deal with it. That's that type of sermon is not a sermon. It's teaching. Preaching? Rah! It has some zest to it. It has some bite to it. It has some unction to it. And it takes the information that the text provides to move us in our affections. So for my money, get ready for this. I'll take a topical sermon that moves my affections, all of them, not just my lovey-dovey side, but the I hate sin side. That's an affection. I have more assurance. I have more hope. That's an emotive side based on knowledge. I'll take that topical sermon that helps me to love the Savior more, hate my sin more, than an expository sermon that wrings every single syllable out of a text. Jimmy, you agree with that?
I completely agree with that.
I'm not saying that we abandon. By no means am I saying abandon expository. I've got two books, however, on my nightstand that I'm making my way through. Brian Chappell's book, I think it's about something about the... I can't remember the name of it, but it's a thorough treatment on preaching. And it is about making sure that it is Christ exalting and that it does stir the affections. The other, The Supremacy of Christ in Preaching, I believe, is the second book. And it's based on the preaching of Jonathan Edwards, who was didn't have a problem. He was not a really social. If you got into a room with Jonathan Edwards, they were at a party, he'd probably be the dude in the corner, not talking to anybody. He wasn't a like interpersonal kind of guy. He would do counsel, but he believed that he was most effective in the pulpit and teaching. Distinction, preaching and teaching, two different things. And Jonathan Edwards, he was very, very much concerned about preaching and teaching that did not stir the affections, that didn't move us, stir us, grow us in things like compassion or sympathy. He was very interested in those things. And so the book I'm reading is exposing that, because preaching is more than teaching. So Jimmy, I ain't apologizing to you, Pally boy.
Okay.
I just defended myself in my own court of law. I think I might be bringing those books in to share. And I've been kind of debating it simply because it's a little bit insider. But on the other hand, it's not. Because you might not be preparing a sermon, but you're listening to them. Ask yourself the question about what diet of preaching you are consuming. And that's a helpful way to judge a sermon. We all have a propensity to get into the car when church is done and kind of go through the sermon and sort it for better or for worse. It could be negative. It could be pot. We just do that. At least I know we have a tendency to talk about the sermon. And it's not wrong if it was missing an element rather than trashing it to bring out, you know what could have been really helpful? And, oh, you know what we could apply this toward and what this might look like in our life? That's all cool stuff. I think we should be doing that to assess our diet. And if you happen to be, you're born again, you're a Christian, and maybe your affections are not running where they should be. Now, I want to be careful with that because we are not a purely emotive religion. We are both cognitive and emotive. We aren't one or the other. We are both. And we need knowledge in order to rightly inform our emotions and our affections. We don't want pure intellectualism. We don't want pure emotionalism. In other words, we need a balanced diet. What are you consuming? Are you increasingly longing for heaven? Now, I can say that that is the case for me, and I could dismiss it because I'm realizing more and more how close that day is. Could be any second for any of us. Mrs. Friel and I, we were out for a walk last night. We were talking about this very thing. And this was so great. I was talking with Phil Johnson. I had a conundrum and I wanted to run it by a wise man. And I'm talking to Phil. And he said that he and Darlene just got back from swimming. Now, if you know what Phil has been going through for the last 2 years, you're like, wait, what? He's at the swimming pool? Yeah. And he said that for the first time, really in 2 years, he feels like normal. That's so cool. And then he started to wax a little bit and go, you know, it's surprising, he said, because when I was 70, I just felt fit as a fiddle. I was at Shepherd's Conference and I was feeling like a 30-year-old. I even commented to myself, wow, energy and all of that stuff and health, everything is kind of clicking and grooving. 4 weeks later, he entered into a season of really difficult health issues. Praise God. because of medicine and God's creation of medicine. He's feeling better, but he started to talk about, you know, this stem cell that he received is going to give him this many years potentially. And then he said, and how old are you, Friel? And he informed me, you're not really that far behind. And so I realized that I could say the following statement because heaven is ever nearer. But I can also say it's because of sermons and preaching and teaching that I listen to that paint Jesus as being so amazing. It's like, get me out of here. Why would I want to be here when he is there? Question, how's your sermon diet? This is Wretched Radio.
You know what's remarkable? Currently, right now, at this present time, there are over 4 million podcasts in production. And something unexpected has happened. Fortis Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, 3 of them in the top 2%. Now, we're not here to shout from the rooftops about rankings. We're actually here because truth matters. For 25 years, we've been steadfast. First as Wretched Radio, then as Gospel Partners Media, now standing firm as Fortis Institute. Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Gifford, John Krotz, Libby Glosson, real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortis Plus app. Completely free. Hundreds of hours of content already there. Absolutely free. Download it, use it, share it, and then partner with us at fortisinstitute.org because we truly believe the church deserves better. fortisinstitute.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Master's University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Master's University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Master's University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You remember when you first discovered solid biblical teaching? It was the moment when the door swung open and everything changed in your life. What if we could fling those doors wide open for everyone, everywhere? That's why we launched a brand new initiative, Truth Unhindered. It's going on right now. Later this year, we're unveiling something unprecedented, something that will revolutionize how pastors access seminary-level teaching, how families discover biblical counseling, how seekers find answers. But here's the thing. Great visions, well, they require great partners, and that's why we need you now more than ever before. Through June 30th, every dollar you give will be doubled through our matching grant, up to $250,000. That's not just giving, it's multiplication. Your gift today becomes transformation tomorrow. Visit fortisinstitute.org/truth before June 30th, because truth, well, it was never meant to have barriers. fortisinstitute.org/truth.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teaches us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the wisdom of God. The wisdom of man says we can earn God's favor through good works, but the wisdom of God is made known in Jesus Christ. God in human flesh, put to death on the cross to grant us forgiveness we cannot earn. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If Jimmy would quit calling me names, we would get to the subject du jour, which is also the subject of the day. That was your cue, Jimmy.
Four.
You're supposed to say, sounds delicious.
Sounds delicious.
I think I'll have that. This is Wretched Radio. I mentioned two different stories, two different subjects. Let's see if we can tackle both of them, starting with Ayahahu. Ha ha ha. We did this before. I still don't know how to say this name. Ayahuasca? It's a psychedelic drug is what it is. This is from Arca... Where are my glasses? Okay, got it. Oh, there you go. The therapist will see you now. More people in tech have been turning to psychedelics, often with the explicit purpose of unlocking efficiency, potential, or meaning. Scientists and some clinicians are also studying the effects of psychedelics on treatment-resistant depression and post-traumatic stress disorder. This is a new trend. It's relatively new. We used to think psychedelics, are you nuts? Why do you want to go into cuckoo land? Well, now they pay for it and do it quite intentionally because they're either thinking it's going to unlock some creativity that will provide financial benefit, or it's going to help them make sense of life. Just consider the logic in this. I don't have it sorted. I'm very confused. Life is a jumble. Hey, give me a drug that totally freaks me out so I can make sense of what I'm confused about. And it is a trend, and it is growing. It is not unusual for techies who do psychedelics for pure entertainment to accidentally find themselves in an existential crisis. Some emerge wanting to, this is fascinating, they want to reevaluate their work life and bring it into greater balance, and new discoveries of God or the interconnections of all living things. If you're taking psychedelics and you're getting in touch with something you perceive to be divine, I can tell you what it is, a devil, because that's what drugs do. That is the Greek word for drugs. Pharmacology is the root, but it is also the same root for witchcraft, divination. Why? Because in these different witchcraft ceremonies, they will take drugs in order to get into contact with the spirit world. And indeed they do, but it's not the Holy Spirit. A growing class of licensed psychologists in the Bay Area now specialize in psychedelic integration. That tells you this is a trend. We can now make money on the people who are getting messed up from taking psychedelics. Enter psychiatry, which can include using guided imagery to help the client relive the psychedelic experience in a sober state. I don't think that sentence actually made the sense that they were hoping and made, as well as questions about changes to dreams and other classic therapy tools. I think I mentioned that we were in Huntsville, Alabama. A lot of lawyers in downtown in these great classic buildings, lovely place and lovely buildings. But I also noticed there were a lot of therapists, a lot of psychiatrists, and they all had the same adjective defining their type of service: integrative psychiatric services. What does it mean to have an integrated psychiatric approach? It basically means, I'm going to kind of just grab whatever I think is right this second to just kind of apply it to this situation. In other words, your therapist is going to make it up. Going to pick a little Freud, going to pick a little Carl Jung, slap it together, throw in their own world experience in an effort to presumably help you to feel better. And of course, it doesn't. These very same people are now finding a marketplace for helping people get off of psychedelics and figure things out. Another article. This is Daniela Hernandez. Psychedelics like ketamine and LSD have become more common. Cool. Do you remember? Drugs were scary when I was a kid. Even pot was like, whoa. Anything beyond that was like, are you like LSD? Mushrooms? It was like, wait, what? That dude did mushrooms? Whoa, he's going to be in jail. Well, now, guess what? It's a trend. Magic mushrooms, LSD, and ketamine, because they want to generate business breakthroughs and enhance their lives. That's how lost the world is. They're turning to psychedelics. I'm telling you, now is the time for the church to rise up, not reclaim the culture, but to proclaim the gospel. I am so excited. Jimmy, I don't know if you knew this yet, but so far, 3 campuses this fall. I think we might be on a 4th campus this fall. I'm going to be with Greg Gifford on a couple of them, by myself on another couple of them. We're going to talk about deconstruction. And Greg is going to join me in another couple of them here in Georgia to talk about mental health and depression and suicide, because the kids are hurting and they're open. They don't need to be trashed and bashed by an intellectual. What they need is somebody to say, hey, there's a better way. There's a better way. Hey, and there's hope for you. You don't need to turn to these other things. You don't need secular ideas. What you need is God's word applied to your heart and mind. And so we're going to be, I hope, four campuses. And next year, I'm kind of hoping for a dozen campuses in the spring. But did I speak that out loud in Reckitt? No, I spoke it out loud, and that's going to make it happen. I'm sorry. I get my unchristian theology confused.
Here comes topical Todd again.
The time. Ibogaine is apparently a drug that you can get in Mexico. So that this article tells a story about this guy who goes to Mexico. Well, guess what? He's in his second term in Congress now, and he's actually pushing for these drugs to be legalized because he had such a groovy experience, Daddy-O, with his eyes closed, a flurry of colors, numbers, and then math equations appearing. The flashes of his past helped him gain a new perspective on painful life experiences, helping him be, quote, reborn and saving his marriage. So what is he doing? All treatment needs to be, quote, medically based. That is the secular therapeutic. That is what Greg Gifford's book is about. Lies My Therapist Told Me. Please get it. Wherever you buy books, Greg Gifford, Lies My Therapist Told Me. The industrial complex of psychology, they are so bankrupt. They cannot help these people. They walk in with such complex issues. And it just shrouded in confusion and a lack of clarity and one-sidedness. And they know they can't help. So what do? They write a script. No testing, no medical basis. Just what you say. I've interpreted that for you. You're this. Congratulations. You're now a label for the rest of your life. This prescription might help, might not. If it doesn't, come back. We'll play around with this little cocktail until we get a mixture that's just right for you. And they've got to do that because they have no answers. They can't. They start in the wrong place. How can they possibly end at the right destination? So this particular congressman is saying exactly what's been going on in the psychiatric industry for now for decades. The path forward needs to be medically based. So he's pushing, whatever it's called. Second story we wanted to tackle. Wow. I know kids rebound. I get it. But they just did a massive study. 5 million kids, 5 million of them. We've got decades of record of children who have lived in a home that broke up where mom and dad got divorced. So this study of 5 million kids shows the effects of divorce. And it's all fascinating. It's all heartbreaking. And by the way, if this describes you, this is not to attack you. But this is simply to remind us that when we do not do things God's way, when sin breaks something, whoever the offending party was, but when something gets broken and when something is done unbiblically, there's a big difference between a biblical divorce and an unbiblical divorce. Most divorces are absolutely unbiblical. Most. So I'm not talking about you if you had a biblical divorce. I'm talking about the effects of unbiblical divorce. It is devastating the kids. Nearly a third of American children experience parental divorce before adulthood. Here's what happens. Following divorce, parents move apart. Household income falls substantially, by the way. I read through this. It's about a 65-page study. I think about 20-25% income goes down. That doesn't help a family thrive. Parents work longer hours. Families move more frequently. So stability compromised. Households relocate to poorer neighborhoods with less economic opportunity. Parental divorce reduces children's adult earnings and whether they go on to higher education. It increases their incarceration rates. It lowers their life expectancy rate, and it increases the number of teenagers who have babies. That's the effect of unbiblical divorce. Divorce increases teen births by 73%. Oof. Mortality by age 25 increases 35%. Drives up rates of incarceration by 43%. Drives up mortality by 35 to 55% at divorce. On and on it goes. If you're in a marriage that's struggling, should you do it for the kids? I think that's one of the reasons, but I would say there's another reason, because there is hope. I've seen it. I know it to be true. there is not a marriage too far gone. Find yourself a biblical counselor, not Christian, biblical counselor. It won't give you ayahuasca. Instead, they'll give you Bible truth to both of your hearts that can bring about a beautiful reconciliation. Society will be glad, you'll be glad, and so will your children. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.